The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter Number 3, Text Number 13, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on June 15th, 2008, in Christchurch, New Zealand.
So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter Number 3, Text Number 13. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So, since it is simply a prose verse, I will just read it. Kinchayam rajashira pachyakama prajang bavadrusham asana ishvaram ashisam svaga pavargayor api bhavantam upadhavati prajayam artha pachyayo dhanadam ivadhana palikaranam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Dear Lord, here is the great king, Nabi, whose ultimate goal in life is to have a son like you. Your Lordship, his position is like that of a person approaching a very rich man and begging for a little grain. Maharaj Nabi is so desirous of having a son that he is worshipping you for a son, although you can offer him any exalted position, including elevation to the heavenly planets or liberation back to Godhead. Purport. The priests were a little ashamed that King Nabi was performing a great sacrifice just to ask the Lord's benediction for a son. The Lord could offer him promotion to the heavenly planets or the Vaikuntha planets. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us how to approach the Supreme Lord and ask him for the ultimate benediction. He said, Nadhanam Najanam Nusundarin Kavitam Vajagadisha Kamiye. He did not want to ask the Lord for anything material. Material opulence means riches, a nice family, a good wife, and many followers. But an intelligent devotee doesn't ask the Supreme Lord for anything material. His only prayer is, Mava janmani jamanishvare bhavatad bhakti rahaitaki tvai. He wants to be engaged perpetually in the loving service of the Lord. He does not want promotion to the heavenly planets or mukti, liberation from material bondage. If this were the case, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not have said, Mama Janmani Janmani. It doesn't matter to a devotee whether or not he takes birth life after life, as long as he remains a devotee. Actually, eternal liberty means returning home back to Godhead. A devotee is never concerned about anything material, although Nabi Maharaj wanted a son like Vishnu. Wanting a son like God is also a form of sense gratification. A pure devotee wants only to engage in the Lord's loving service. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Pada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam
Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha.
You know what? Prabhupada's making it really, really clear in this purport. Very, very clear. That we should only desire pure devotional service and nothing else. Sometimes we see people want something besides pure devotional service. As in the case of here, King Nabhi. And the priests, in the mood of serving the king, they were petitioning the Lord for something. And they felt a little embarrassed, actually, when Krishna appeared. Why we are troubling you? Just because the king wanted something material. So, we are very fortunate that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made it crystal clear for us exactly how to get the supreme benediction. In other words, we can beg for benedictions. But if we're going to beg for benediction, why not go for the supreme benediction? You see. If you're going to a billionaire, will you ask for a paltry $1,000? Or a paltry $100? That is not a very intelligent thing. If you're going to a billionaire, you ask for as much as you can get. If he will give you $1,000,000, then take that $1,000,000, you see. This is intelligent. Don't ask a rich man for some pocket change. So if you're approaching God, why ask for some pocket change, like elevation to the heavenly planets, material riches, you see? Why bother the Lord for some paltry, insignificant trinket? Dhruva had the same realization. Oh, I'm such a fool. I was looking for some broken pieces of glass only by wanting a worldly kingdom. You see. So this is a very, very poignant lesson. Very profound lesson. If we can properly understand and implement this lesson, then we will achieve the supreme benediction. This is the advantage, you see. This is not something just theoretical. Do not think that Bhagavatam is simply some flowery words, some theoretical understanding. No, it is a practical laboratory manual how to realize God, how to practically realize Krishna, you see. As we were discussing last night, Prabhupada said the devotee should be eager to see Krishna and speak with Krishna in this very lifetime. You see? That is achieved by taking this prayer of Lord Chaitanya and implementing it, making it the theme of one's existence. Not just, well, I know the prayer and yeah, Lord Chaitanya said, Nadanam Najanam Asunyam. But actually embracing that spirit at every minute in one's heart. You see, that's the point. That's the real point. Take that mood of Lord Chaitanya. I don't want wealth. I don't want women. I don't want followers. I don't even want liberation. I just want devotional service and nothing but devotional service. Prabhupada gave a nice practical example in his personal instructions. He said that a devotee simply needs a place to lie down and some prasadam and service. That's the only needs he really had. Give me a place to lay down at night, give me some prasadam, and give me unlimited service. You see, that's all a devotee really needs. He has no other need. Some prasadam, place to lie down and service. That's all. So, this is how one actually becomes opulent. As stated in the Shastra, wealth of the Brahmins is austerity, tapasā, you see. Being willing to accept all austerities for the pleasure of the Lord. That makes one wealthy. And what is that wealth? One possesses Krishna. You see. Can you imagine, in this world, everyone is trying for money, 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 sweeter than honey, you see. Everyone's simply after dinero, money. How can I get money, 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 money? But just imagine if that person who controls all the money, from whose transcendental existence or body, our personality, all money is simply an emanation. If that person who is the ultimate money mint, and that all money is actually simply his energy, if he becomes your personal property, would you ever lack any financially, or any way, would you be lacking? That person who controls and owns absolutely everything to all of existence has become your personal property. Can you ever be lacking in any way? It's not possible. You see? Whatever the pure devotee needs, material or spiritual, it's immediately there. And what is the proof? It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. That, for one who worships me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. And in the lecture, Prabhupada described, carry what they lack in this way. He said, Krishna personally delivers it to your home. He comes to your door, and if you're lacking something, there he is, Krishna delivery service. Krishna personally gives it to his pure devotee, you see. What does it mean, exclusive devotion? It means no other object of devotion, only Krishna. All of my love is completely belonging to Krishna. It doesn't go anywhere else. You see. Only to Krishna, nowhere else. Krishna is a jealous lover. He wants it all. He wants every bit of our love. Every bit of it, 100%. So by giving ourselves 100% to Krishna, then Krishna gives himself 100% to us, you see. That is called loving reciprocation. Rasa. So we have the free will. How much we want to surrender to Krishna? 0%, 1%, 2%. Completely up to us. No one can force you to surrender. You have the free will. Can do whatever you want. So each of us have to decide how much Krishna do we want. We want a little bit of Krishna, we want a lot of Krishna. Do we want the full Krishna, the 50%? How much do we want? We have the choice. Each of us can decide how much of Krishna we want, and to that extent we can surrender. And with that, whatever degree we surrender, Krishna guarantees, ye yata mang prapajyante tang tatayo bhajamyaham. Whatever degree we surrender is absolutely guaranteed we will get that degree of reciprocation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the owner of all that exists, the controller of everything, the enjoyer of everything. He will let us participate in his enjoyment. What is that called when you participate in the enjoyment of the Lord? It's called Krishna consciousness. That's why Krishna consciousness is ecstatic. That's why it's blissful. That's why devotees can sing and dance in ecstasy. You see? Because they're getting the mercy of Krishna. They're getting the blessings of Krishna. We are not dancing dogs, some paid dancers, you know, for the Hollywood movie set. We are actually tasting the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness by surrendering to the Lord. You can't fake Krishna consciousness just by putting on a dhoti or a sari and some tila. You can't fake it. You either have it or you don't. Sometimes they try to fake it. There was one case in Miami, in Florida, in the U.S. Miami is a very popular portal for the drug smugglers to bring their drugs in to the U.S., where they can make big money, big profit on illegal drugs. So they're always kind of trying to dream up different ways of sneaking the drugs across the border. Just like recently in Australia, they took the foot spas. They shipped all these foot spas from Canada loaded with illicit drugs, millions of dollars worth of illicit drugs, and they caught it somehow or other, you see. So anyway, there was a drug smuggler who was coming through. He wanted to bring smuggled drugs through Miami. He thought, well, how can I avoid getting caught? So he shaved his head. He put a tilak and tzika, neck beads, saffron, dhoti, everything. And he came through with his suitcase, you see, loaded with illicit drugs. And the customs officials took one look at him. We have devotees in Miami, especially our Siddha Vidya. He always goes around singing and dancing on the streets. He's very well known, you know. People know what a blissful Hare Krishna looks like because they've seen us many times because of our Harinams there in Miami. So they took one look at this fellow and they said, you know, he doesn't have the effulgence, the brightened face of a devotee. He has the external thing. He has the dhoti, kurta, neck bead, sika. He has all the external things, but his face doesn't match up to the costume. They said, let's see your bags. And sure enough, they nabbed him, you see. He was finished, handcuffed and hauled off, you know. He wasn't a dhoti for long. He was pretty soon in a prison uniform, you see. So you really can't fake Krishna consciousness just by dressing up in devotional clothes and putting tilak on the nose. There's also a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur like that. Here comes another Vaishnava. He sang it sarcastically. He has tilak on the nose, he has kanti mala on the neck, and he's keeping so many women for illicit sex. So, a show of Krishna consciousness has no value. It may give you some ability to manipulate people, you see, but it has no value. For one's own personal happiness, absolutely no value. What is valuable is to cultivate genuine Krishna consciousness. That's really valuable, as stated here in Lord Chaitanya's prayer. That's valuable. That's real. It works. Sometimes people say, how do you know that Krishna consciousness is genuine? And we have a simple two-word answer. Truth works. It's simple. Something is true, and you apply that truth in a practical way, then you get the tangible result. So we know that Krishna consciousness is real. We know that it is genuine, authentic, bona fide, certified, authorized. Why? Because truth works. Because we apply this process, and we feel the ecstasy. It's confirmed by the great realized teachers of history. It's confirmed. Svayambhur Narada Shambhu, Prahlado Kumaro Kapilo Manu, Prahlado Janako Bhishma Balarvaya Sakirviyam. It's confirmed by all the great Mahajanas. Lord Brahmanji confirms Svayambhur, Narad Muni, Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, Lord Kapiladev, Svayambhuva Manu, you see. Prahlad Maharaj, Janak Maharaj, Grandfather Bhishma, Bali Maharaj, Sukadev Goswami, and Yamaraj. They all confirm this is a valid process. This process works. It's certified by all the great authorities who have guided the Vedic civilization for thousands and thousands of years. It's confirmed by all the great authorities, you see. And if we actually try it sincerely, we will get the result. When I was a boy in the high school, they taught us in the chemistry class that H2O equals water. And they did not ask us to blindly accept this principle. They said, now, students, we will go to the laboratory and we will let you do it yourself. So we did that. We took two parts of hydrogen, each one of the students, myself included, we took two parts of hydrogen and one part of oxygen, and lo and behold, there it was in the test tube, water appeared. You see? So, these temples, Hare Krishna temples, they are laboratories of devotional service. They are laboratories of self-realization. They are places where you can come and under the guidance of the spiritual master and the temple authorities, you can engage in the activities as prescribed in the laboratory manual and actually get the result. That's a fact. So how do you know if you're getting the result? That is described in the Bhagavatam, how one knows one's getting the result. Bhakti pareshanu bhurova bhaktir anyatra chai shatrika eka kalaha prapadyaman nasha yatasnana sush tushti pushti chadapayo nagasam. That is described. That love for Krishna, bhakti, direct perception of the Lord within everything that exists, and detachment from all material things, these occur simultaneously for one who is engaged sincerely in the process of devotional service. Just as nourishment, eradication of hunger and satisfaction occur increasingly with each bite for one who is engaged in the process of eating. And I really experienced that this morning because I just finished the nirjal, and Bhakti Tom brought the breakfast. Talk about satisfaction. And those cups of breakfast, I had five of them actually. It was so pure ambrosia just permeating my entire physical existence. Because it was transcendental prasadam spiritually also. So I felt great nourishment, eradication of hunger and satisfaction by taking that nirjal breakfast. So in the same way, if we actually apply Krishna consciousness as it is described here by Lord Chaitanya, you see, if we actually apply it exactly as Lord Chaitanya is giving it to us, then we get great satisfaction. We actually feel how we're developing love for Krishna. We actually more and more can see Krishna within everything. He's there, actually. Krishna is everywhere. Do you think he's only in the temple? He's only in his holy name? Do you think that Krishna is only in the temple, in his holy name? What do you think? You're an intelligent girl, you see? Krishna is everywhere, actually. Yamang pashyati sarvatra sarvangcha mai pashyati tashahang na pranashami satchamena pranashyati. Krishna says, Bhagavad Gita chapter 6, text number 30. He says, for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. And I remember the first time I had the great opportunity to be in the presence of my eternal spiritual master and spiritual father, His Divine Grace Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya The founder acharya of ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He described very wonderfully to us, actually most of the people there were hippies. It was a big Ratha Yatra festival, it was a tremendous crowd, like something like 30,000 people. It was unbelievable turnout there in Haight-Ashbury, Golden Gate Park back in 1971. And Prabhupada came straight from the airport to the Ratha Yatra site. He got on Subhadra Devi's cart. And we got a double mercy at this festival. Prabhupada gave two lectures, one at the beginning of the parade and one at the festival site. It was really, really nice. He set the mood for the Ratha Yatra festival by giving a lecture at the beginning before we started pulling the carts. And he gave the most wonderful, wonderful lecture. And actually, this was the first word I heard from the lotus mouth of my spiritual master in his physical presence. Of course, on recordings I had heard. But the first word I had heard from his lotus mouth in his physical presence was, Jagannath. He said like this, Jagannath Shami, Nayana Patagami, Bhava Tume. Lord, my dear Lord Jagannath, Lord of the universe, please come to my vision. So Prabhupada explained to us that actually seeing God is not difficult. Because Krishna is there. He's the taste of the water. He's the light of the sun and the moon. You see, it's not difficult. He said, every one of you are drinking water once, twice, thrice, more than that every day. He said, if every time you drink water, you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, immediately you become Krishna conscious. He said, to become Krishna conscious is not a difficult job, it simply requires practice. So actually Krishna is there through the eyes of the scripture, and as our devotion increases more and more, we become more and more conscious of how Krishna is everywhere. So that's the second item mentioned in this Bhagavatam verse. Bhakti Pareshanu Bhavo. Pareshanu Bhavo. And then Viraktir means you become detached from all material things. We gave the graphic example last night in the class. Somebody may be addicted to eating stool, you see. Pretty gross example, but you know. Somebody may be addicted to eating stool. Hogs are. I mean, there are people out there and they're in hogs' bodies and they are addicted to eating stool, there's no doubt. It's a reality. And the karmi people who eat unoffered food, what they eat is practically the same as stool anyway. You know, even though it's nicely dressed up in this way and that way. It's practically eating stool. Whether it's pizza or whatever you may call it, spaghetti or salad or anything. It's not offered to Krishna. It's like eating stool. So, is it difficult to give up eating stool if someone gives you a bowl of strawberry ice cream? It's simply a matter of higher taste. So naturally, devotees, in the beginning it may be difficult to give up our sinful activities if we're addicted to them. But as we progress along the pathway of bhakti, then it becomes easier, 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 easier. Because we're actually losing our taste for these things. They're becoming disgusting to us. You know, illicit sex, meeting, intoxication, and gambling. It's like, who wants to come down? Even illicit sex becomes unattractive. Legal sex. We have legal sex in our movement, you know, of course. When a householder couple trying to have a child, they can chant with the... According to Prabhupada's statement, actually they get the blessings of their Guru Maharaj to try to have a child. And then they chant 50 rounds of japa on the most fertile day of the month for making the wife pregnant. And then they have sex enjoyment for trying to produce a child once in a month. So one time when I was a young brahmachari, I was talking with one householder. And he said, you know, last night my wife and I, we chanted 50 rounds and we were going to have sex to have a child. But we got so high on the chanting, we thought, let's wait till next month, forget it. We don't want to come down to the bodily platform. So actually Krishna consciousness is like that. Even illicit sex becomes disgusting. Why? Because the Maha Mantra carries one to such a high level of ecstatic nectarian bliss that who wants to come in, who wants to come down for a landing? In other words, this Hare Krishna mantra is a transcendental airplane. It takes you beyond the modes of nature. Where you just, on a rainy, cold, dreary day, you see, you go to the airport, you get on the plane, and you go beyond the clouds. Have you ever flown in the airplane? Did you ever fly in the airplane? When you get on the airplane and you take off, it can be a miserable day in Christchurch. But all of a sudden you get this beautiful, it's like heaven. Heavenly up there above the cloud, you know. So the Maha Mantra is the ultimate airplane. It doesn't require petroleum. Now they're running out of petroleum. They're wondering, how are we going to keep this culture going? We have an easy solution. Go back to the ox and the bull. Give everybody an acre of land and give them an ox and a bull. And, you know, we don't need the petroleum. We can, Prabhupada said, we can take castor oil and burn some lamps. And we can take some firewood and, you know, cook and heat, or take cow dung for cooking. But anyway, this Hare Krishna mantra, it takes us completely beyond the modes of material nature. So this householder couple were so high on the mantra, even though they now could have sex enjoyment, it was completely allowed, licit. Krishna says, you know, balang balavachang kaham dharma rang, in this way, dharma virudo bhuteshu kamosmi bhadatashabha. That sex life is me. Even though it was Krishna, completely pure and Krishna conscious, they thought, no, it's not as good as chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna chanting, someone says, why do you chant Hare Krishna so much? You can tell them, it's better than sex. It's better than sex, you see. That's why we chant all the time. Because it's better than sex. And that was confirmed with this householder couple. Even though illicit sex they could have, they thought, no, this chanting is so wonderful. We don't want to come down from this platform, transcendental platform, beyond the modes of nature, to the bodily plane, male, female, you see. They had no interest. So in this way, we can understand the great practical value of following this wonderful, wonderful instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Become completely blissful 24 hours a day in all times, places, and circumstances. And to finish up our business in this repetition of birth and death by going back to home, back to Godhead. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes?
King Yampi's request for a son is very similar to what condition we are in, because we're not completely pure. Mm-hmm. Most of us have come to Krishna consciousness already entangled with a set of material.
Oh, I know, yeah, what's the fact?
So we're trying to dig our way out of all these material desires. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Even though we want to concentrate.
That's right. That does happen a lot. That's a thing.
So, in those instances, to go to Krishna to say, this is a material problem, I'm sorry I'm bringing it to you, but I've got to have relief from this problem so I can continue.
Yes, we can pray that way, because it's for the ultimate purpose of devotional service. My dear Lord, I have this problem, please. If you so desire, kindly relieve me of it so I can engage in service. That we can. That is a legitimate way of praying. At the same time, we should also pray that both moods. That mood can be there. That mood does help us through difficulties, that's a thing. But at the same time, we can also say, but my dear Lord, ultimately, whatever you want to do with me, you can do with me. I know myself, I'm going through a tremendous, I'm going deaf. It's disturbing because it's hard to preach when you're deaf. In fact, sometimes I have the people write the questions on a piece of paper and hand it to me. Instead of trying to hear, what was that, Prabhu? What was that? What was that? What was that question? So I know exactly what you're talking about. And then I get very bad earaches also, and that makes it even worse. I've been suffering this way since I was a 16-year-old kid. Now I'm 60. It's like for 44 years of suffering. So I know exactly what you're talking about. And sometimes it's just so painful and so distressing. I can sit in a room with someone 3 feet away and I can't hear what they're saying. It's a very disturbing thing. And the way my condition is such that hearing aids make it worse. They hurt me. So it's a very disturbing thing. And sometimes it's just so disturbing. I say, Krishna, you told me that if I exclusively devote myself to you, that you'll preserve what I have and carry what I lack. Well, I'm lacking hearing ability. Sometimes I'd say to Krishna, so bless me that I can be exclusively devoted to you so I can cash in on your promise. You see, sometimes it's like them. So the trick is, along with doing that, you have to pray for pure bhakti, because that sort of guarantee is for the completely pure devotees. You understand? That whatever you're needing, I will provide it. Whatever you're lacking, whatever you have, I protect. Whatever hearing I have, I'd like to have that protected. I don't lose any more of it. I have a little bit left. You see? So, I know exactly what you're talking about. But the secret, or the thing to note is that Krishna does fulfill every need for those who are exclusively devoted to him. So we should pray for pure bhakti at the same time. We can remind the Lord of our need, that's all right. But we should also pray for pure bhakti at the same time. Because then the more that we're pure, the more he'll be inclined to give us exactly what we need, because we won't misuse it for sense gratification. You know, does that make sense?
I find actually in my own situation that while asking for some relief from the material problem, I want to be able to, I also pray to surrender to what Krishna, how he is teaching me through this difficulty.
Mm-hmm. That's very good. Yeah, that's very good. We have to always see it in a transcendental way. And I really recommend, Mataji, a wonderful verse in the Bhagavatam that I have used again and again and again as I deal with my own torment. The verse is, Tate nukampam su samikshamano bunjana evatmarkatang vapakam tadvagvapurvir vidadam namaste jiveta yo mukti pade sadaya bhak. Prabhupada quotes this in the Nectar Devotion also. That my dear Lord, those persons who are constantly awaiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon them, who continue to suffer the reactions for their past misdeeds, continually offering you respectful obeisances from within the innermost core of their hearts, are certainly eligible candidates for liberation. Indeed, it has become their rightful claim. So whatever torment or hell we're going through, which is there, let's be honest about it, whatever torment or hell we're going through is actually burning off the reactions for our past sinful deeds. You may say, well, I'm initiated. The guru took all my karma. What is this? Actually, the guru takes 99% of the karma the time of initiation. Because Prabhupada said there's still some residual reactions that the devotee takes. Just like the example of the fan. When you pull the plug on the fan, it still turns for some time from the previous momentum. So even after initiation, when all of our sins have been taken away, that's practically all. There's that slide, that 1% we still have to deal with, you see. So that will come. And so whatever we're going through, we should take it as that 1%, a minimization of what we actually deserve. And the key is, by taking the mood and described in this Bhagavatam verse I quoted, the key is that will then that will elevate one's consciousness beyond the body immediately. In other words, you use the pain as a springboard, you use the suffering as a springboard to transcend this material existence. That's the trick. It's like using the thorn to pull out a thorn. You use it as a springboard. that, my dear Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances to you. I'm suffering right now with this condition. I know that actually it's a minimization of what I actually deserve coming to me. I'm burning off my previous reactions by undergoing this torment right now. And therefore I thank you, my Lord, for giving me this difficulty I'm in, because it's a blessing actually. You've been so kind. I want to be your pure devotee. I have this contamination which is keeping me in this material existence, but you've kindly given me this suffering so I can burn off my sinful reactions and become qualified for pure devotional service. And that way one can understand. And look at the example of Kunti. Vipadasham tu tatashvatatra tatra jagadguru. Tatra tatra jagadguru. Bhavanam darshanam yashad apunabharvam darshanam. She so much appreciated torment and difficulty, she was begging for more of it. We're not so exalted to imitate Kunti, let's face it, but that's, if we remember her mood, that will also help us deal with these things. My Lord, you're so kind. Even though I haven't asked you for suffering, you're giving it to me anyway. This is your mercy. So please help me deal with it in a transcendental way. You see? In that way, we can use everything to strengthen our Krishna consciousness. A notable example in this connection is a sailor, someone who has a sailboat out on the water. And I was amazed. I always wondered, well, how in the old days, you know, now in the petroleum power days, as long as they last, you can take the ship and go any way you want on the ocean just by the power of the engine. But what did they do in the old days when they didn't have the engine, when the wind was blowing the wrong way? How did they travel where they needed to go? But I looked it up I Googled on it, and sure enough, you can actually sail into the wind. I was amazed, but a sailor can actually, a wind can be coming here, I think they go like this, that they can actually go directly into the wind through a slight zigzag. It's amazing. Anybody familiar with the art of sailing? But you can look up on Google if you don't believe me. But you can go, if the wind's coming this way, you can go with it. If it's coming this way, you can go into it also. So whether the wind is blowing favorably or unfavorably on the material lover for you, you can use that wind, which is energy, Krishna's energy, to advance in Krishna consciousness, in happiness and in distress. And advancement in Krishna consciousness means bliss, transcendental bliss, becoming more and more manifest in the heart. So does that help you? Yeah. This is practical. It's not just simply some flowery words. This is a very this is the most practical art of psychology. How you can bring your mind under control and become completely peaceful and happy in all conditions of life. Good, in the good, the bad, the beautiful, and the ugly. You become completely ecstatic 24/7. Through the science of bhakti. Not only ecstatic, but ever increasingly ecstatic. That's the amazing thing. And how far can it go? How far can you become ecstatic? There's no limit. That's the amazing thing. You can become so ecstatic that you can taste more bliss than the universe can even hold. Just imagine a gulab jamun that had so much juice that it, when it comes out of the gulab jamun, it's so powerful squirt that it actually penetrates the coverings of the universe. That juice, that rasa, is available in one pure utterance of Krishna. If you can imagine that. That's how powerful the holy name is. The holy name contains so much juice, the universe can't even hold it all, and it will burst through those thick coverings, the thick shells of the universe. So that's why we stress very much, avoid the namaparads. If you can chant Hare Krishna and avoid these aparads, we absolutely guarantee that you will enter into a life of ever-increasing eternal happiness. We absolutely guarantee that. Absolutely guaranteed. Or your money back. Whatever money you gave you. Actually, I have a $10,000 guarantee. I personally guarantee $10,000 cash. If you will sincerely try this process precisely according to the instructions that we give you for 6 months and you don't experience transcendental bliss, we will give you $10,000 cash. New Zealand dollar. Is it? No one's ever asked for the money yet. Somebody warned me, you better be careful. There's a lot of ritviks out there and people who become inimical, they may try to take advantage. But nobody's ever asked me for $10,000. I've made this offer many times. Now it's being recorded, it's going on the internet. This $10,000 offer. For those of you who are hearing this lecture who are not in New Zealand, I will give you in your own local currency. Because there's a worldwide audience to be hearing the lecture, you see. Whatever your local currency is, I'll give you the equivalent. But no one's ever come forward to ask for the money because this process works. If you follow it as it is, you will get the result. You will become Krishna conscious. You will eventually see Krishna face to face, eye to eye, guaranteed. Guaranteed you will see Krishna face to face, eye to eye, and you'll be able to talk with him. You know, Prabhupada, when I was a young brahmachari, I used to have so many questions about this thing, that thing, little details, you know. What does Prabhupada want? I didn't know if the temple authorities were telling me, knew exactly what Prabhupada wanted about this thing and that thing. Because they'd only been a devotee for a year or two anyway. So I was wondering, what does Prabhupada really want? So I would write Prabhupada and ask him, this thing, that thing, so many letters. Finally, Prabhupada wrote me a letter. He very mercifully would answer my questions. But then he wrote me one time, he said, if you will simply engage in pure devotional service with full sincerity of attitude 24 hours a day, then Krishna will personally come to you and answer all of your questions. Prabhupada wasn't joking, because Krishna personally, regularly came to him and told him, when Prabhupada's writing his purports, Krishna is personally dictating to Prabhupada. These are the words of Krishna, actually. Prabhupada is the medium. These are dictated by Krishna, these purports, Bhaktivedanta purports. So Prabhupada wasn't joking. He was telling me his own personal experience. And urging me to come to the same level of Krishna consciousness that he was experiencing. He was pushing me. And as I mentioned last night, he even ordered me in one letter, he said, now you qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. He ordered me to qualify myself to see Krishna face to face. So I'm still working on it. But I know I'm getting closer. I know I'm getting closer and closer and closer to that day when Krishna will personally reveal himself to me. Because I'm diving deeper and deeper and deeper into chanting, deeper and deeper into service, deeper and deeper into preaching, spreading Krishna consciousness, deeper and deeper and deeper into serving the Vaishnavas. So I know that Prabhupada's, and someday I'll be able to carry, by his mercy, I'll be able to carry out his order, and actually Krishna will come. I know that day will come. When oh, when will that day be mine? Kabe habe bolo sedi mamas. But I know it will come. Not a question of if, it is simply a question of when. That's all. So any other questions? So, looks like must be a turning point here. It's 8:30. So we can stop here. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.